May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 1143. See, gracious God, before thy throne thy mourning people bend. 'Tis on thy sovereign grace alone our humble hopes depend. Hymn 1143.
Oh, Let us read together from God's holy word, the first of Chronicles and part of chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And we'll read the first 37 verses. In Chronicles chapter 16. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord, and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zechariah, Jeiel and Semiramoth and Jehiel and Mattithiah and Eliab and Benaiah and Obed-Edom, and Jeiel with psalteries and with harps, but Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaiah also and Jahaziel, the priests, with trumpets, continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on that day David delivered first this psalm, to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvellous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. When they were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvellous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honour are in his presence, strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kingdoms of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for ever and ever. And all the people said, Amen, and praised the Lord. So he left there before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, Asaph and his brethren, to minister before the ark continually, as every day's work required. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to us and help us in prayer. O Lord, God of heaven and of earth, we see, Lord, that help and strength to come before thee and to gather at this time. And, O Lord, we do thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that thou art God over all the earth, and that thou hast exalted thy beloved Son as a prince and as a saviour and the help and hope of thy people. And, O Lord, we do see that as we gather together thy word, that God is to be greatly feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him, that it might be so with us this day. Lord, we gather after a week in which yet again another mighty deed has been done in a different way, and Lord, many have lost their lives in this our country. And O Lord, we do pray for those that are in bereavement, those who have lost their homes, those who have lost their loved ones, those who are deeply affected. And we pray that thou hast be pleased to lead them to seek unto thee in this great trial, that it might be that they turn unto thee. O Lord, do remember us as a nation. O Lord, how we have turned our backs upon thee, and Lord, as yet deaf to every warning given. O Lord, do be pleased to hear of our confessions, of our hardness of heart, of our persistence in our sin, of our adding sin to sin, of our going on in our trespasses, of our stopping our ears unto thy voice. O Lord, we do confess, Before thee our wickedness and our sin, Lord, we have sung in like manner, and Lord, we would humble ourselves before thee. Grant us the spirit of Daniel. Grant us, Lord, to be of the salt of the earth or of this nation, Lord, through these times, to acknowledge thy hand, to humble ourselves before thee, to see, Lord, that thou hast turned us again, that thou hast caused that there might be left behind a blessing. O Lord, do grant a real revival in this land of ours. Lord, that there might be, as we have many times prayed, that there might be those things done and circumstances wrought, that with thy Spirit might be to the real spiritual blessing and prosperity of this land. O Lord, we have gone, everyone on our own way. We have embraced every wickedness and every sin. O Lord, we call evil good and good evil. Lord, we do not want to hear of thee, but when distress comes, we blame thee. O Lord, we are a nation of those that forget God and those that turn our backs upon thee, those that give thee lip service, those that are walking in a way still of provocation. O Lord, do turn us, remember us personally in these things. Lord, how oft we find that this is reflected in our own heart. Lord, are there those of us here too? And Lord, thy voice is heard still in our lives. Lord, thou art bringing thy hand there as well, and yet we don't hear. We still go on. Remember any here hardening their heart in iniquity and sin, and stopping their ears to hearing thy hand. O Lord, do grant that there might be a hearing the rod, and who hath appointed it. Lord, we do seek of thee, that thou wouldst so also sanctify these things to us, when we feel and know our own sin. Lord, why have others been visited with these so fearful, distressing sorrows, and we spared? Why have we got home still, and others not? O Lord, thou knowest our sin, our foolishness, and what we deserve. And O Lord, we would humble ourselves before thee. Lord, we do see that thou hast magnified thy name in salvation amongst us today. O Lord, there have been those this week ushered into eternity without hardly a moment's warning. And O Lord, we do beg that thou wouldst lay this in each of our hearts, and cause that we might be seeking this day for our own soul, and that thou hast magnified thy way of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, before us. O Lord, thou art God alone. Thou art the sovereign Lord of all. O do grant us to come humbly at thy footstool. We thank thee for thy many mercies, thy mercies that are mixed with judgments, thy mercies that limit thy judgments. Lord, thy mercies that show kindness in the midst of thy hand lifted up. O Lord, do thou be pleased to grant thy word to enter into prepared ground this morning. O Lord, may there be a change in how we hear the word of God. Lord, do thou cause thy word to enter in and bring forth fruit. Lord, we pray for those in authority over us. Give them, Lord, grace and wisdom and thy protection. And O Lord, we do seek that we might have those in authority and those whose voice is heard that do honour thee in all these things. O Lord, do thou be pleased to bless each gathered here today. Bless this cause of truth. Bless the church and the church officers. Be with them in all their responsibilities, their prayers, their desires for the congregation here, the souls they watch for and pray for. Lord, do bless each family here. Lord, those that have children, do bless the children. And Lord, do thou grant there's work in their hearts while they are young in years. And O Lord, do be pleased to grant submission to thy will in all things. Lead us forth by the right way as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, do thou be pleased to then shine upon us this morning. And Lord, remember those around in Swavesey, that thou hast constrained those to come in and hear thy word that have not heard it. May they be blessed under it. Lord, we seek that there might be those come in as strangers and brought to be dear, beloved brethren. O Lord, we do pray for those who are connected with us that have gone away from the means of grace. We pray for those that may be here today, that are here under sufferance. Lord, we have been in that path. And, O Lord, make that gracious change, that they might one day say, I came to the house once under sufferance and reluctantly and wishing not to be there. But now I love to be there and want to be there. O Lord, work that work and that change in the heart of those who have no appetite for the things of God. Pass by them and bid them live. And Lord, those whom thou hast bid live, to seek thee, to know thee, to follow after thee, to long for a felt interest in thee, lead them safely on and bless them and satisfy them with the goodness of thy house. Give them encouragements, give them helps, keep them and bless them. O Lord, we do seek thy commanded blessing then. We are so dependent upon thy Spirit for natural strength, for mental strength, for spiritual strength. Lord, for thy word to be given us, and thy word to be blessed. Hear then our confessions, our supplications and prayers, and receive us graciously as we ask through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn number 376. Lord, I cannot let thee go till a blessing thou bestow. Do not turn away thy face. Mine's an urgent, pressing case. Hymn 376.
Thank you.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the chapter that we read, 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. We are told the occasion in verse 1 of this chapter was when the children of Israel were bringing up the ark and bringing it to Jerusalem to pitch it in the tent that David had made for it. We remember that the ark had been taken from Shiloh into the battle and taken by the Philistines. Then it had been taken by the cart, and a wonderful sign that it was the Lord's hand that had been upon the Philistines when it had been in their coast. It went back to Beth Shemesh and in Kirjath Jearim. There it had remained until it was now to be brought up to Jerusalem. And the tabernacle that was still at Gibeon. But for a short time, the ark was to be not in the holiest of all, but in this tent that David had made for it. For a short time, a beautiful time of the Lord Jesus Christ, without a veil between, the great Son of David, accessible and in the midst of his people. Afterwards, of course, the temple, Solomon's temple, was built, the holiest of all made again, and the ark put within it and the veil over it. And again, the same time as in the wilderness, the tabernacle waiting and looking, as the apostle said, all the time the veil was there, signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made. But this was a time of rejoicing. It hadn't been when they first attempted to bring it up, because the first time they attempted to bring it, they put it on the cart like the Philistines did, and the Lord touched them with, we might say, disaster, with one of the Uzzah who put forth his hand to touch the ark was slain before God. And when David, again, after that ark then had been put into the house of Obed-Edom, because David was afraid to come before it, and the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom, but when it was brought up again, David said, "Ye did it not as was commanded at the first." We have a real example in the bringing up of the ark of how necessary it is to worship the Lord in the way that he has commanded, not in all kinds of modern innovations or ways of following the heathen of what they did in bringing up the ark. God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. And when we think of what happened this time, and it was a time of revival, you might say, in the church here, and what happened in the New Testament as well, when there was the revival and the spreading forth of the word, then we had there Ananias and Sapphira, in lying to the Holy Ghost or lying to Peter concerning the land, they were struck dead. And we read that great fear came on all the church. It didn't stop there being thousands being converted and blessed, but they were to understand that God was a God to be feared and to be had in reverence. And so in bringing up the ark here, David, he brings it up and he composes this psalm, and we are told why the psalm was delivered in verse 7, and our text is a part of this psalm. And the reason why was to thank, to thank the Lord, to thank the Lord for the ark, to thank the Lord for this occasion of bringing up of the ark, but really to thank the Lord for his salvation. This is the theme that runs through this psalm. This is the message of the text, is the salvation of the Lord. We read in verse 23, sing unto the Lord all the earth, show forth from day to day his salvation. And so we have the Lord, the Lord set forth here, and the glory that is due unto his name, and also mixed with the exhortations, fear before him all the earth, and for all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens, and the Lord is lifted up in all his might and all his power, but especially in the way of salvation. And so the exhortation here, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. The Lord here is in capitals. This is Jehovah the Father, his strength. We'll look at this in a moment, but is the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only way that God can save sinners and be put forth in the way of salvation. And we are to seek unto the Lord in salvation. And it is wonderful how it's set forth here, and we open up in a moment the specific strength of the Lord that is required and is provided to save sinners. And so we are exhorted here to see his face continually, not his back, but his face, his smile, his face toward us, and our face towards him. The types here show forth our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ and the Father in salvation. So I want to look first at the strength of the Lord, and then secondly, our own weakness, why we need the strength of the Lord, and then lastly, the exhortation that David exhorts here, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Well, what is the strength of the Lord? We are reminded in this chapter that the Lord made the heavens, and the Lord has almighty power. To think that he may speak and it was done, and this world was formed out of nothing. The power of the Lord we can hardly enter into at all. We have those illustrations in the Word of the power of the Lord in dividing the Red Sea, before that with the days of Noah breaking up the fountains of the great deep, the destruction of the world that then was, the mighty power of the Lord that was seen at Mount Sinai, the greatness of the Lord in the wonders that he's done in the world, and that which he works in men's hearts and amongst the nations of the earth. The whole creation, it shows forth the mighty power of God. But there is something that is more needed than that in salvation. When we're thinking of sinners being saved from sin, then God cannot just say that I'm going to use my power and I'm going to pluck that soul from the burning that they are due, and to save them from the pit, and I'll just use my almighty power, the same power that's created the world, to do that. In the type that is here, the ark. Over the ark was the mercy seat, but that mercy seat had to be sprinkled with blood. The ark is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are told that especially Psalm 80. Now there's two ways, and I'll compare both in Psalm 80 concerning the Lord's strength, because sometimes he refers to his people Israel as his strength. He speaks of them there in Psalm 80 as a vineyard and brought out of Egypt and then planted it and made room for it. And then there's the prayer, return we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. So the strength there is in the children of Israel, unto whom would come the Lord Jesus Christ. Then if we go a few verses later, verse 17 in Psalm 80, let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the son of man, at the Lord's right hand, made strong for Jehovah, for God, for himself. And to think of the ark as a type of the Lord, or of his strength, we have reference to that time that the Philistines took the ark and they brought it into their own coast. And we have that in Psalm 78. He forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent which he placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's land. Of course, the children of Israel, they were using the ark at that time almost like a lucky charm, or there was something good about the ark, the very ark itself would be able to help them, even though they were going away from the Lord and they were despising the Lord and his ways. If they just had the box of the ark, they thought then the Lord would help them. But the Lord gave the strength to the Philistines and the ark was taken. There were many Israelites that saw these beautiful types and they never saw Christ. All they saw was the times. All they saw was these outward things. And just like the idolaters, they just worship the thing, just as an idol. And you think of in Hezekiah's day, he took the brazen serpent that God had commanded Moses to make and to raise up, a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. But the children of Israel went after that, idolatrizing it. So Hezekiah took it and he ground it to powder. He called it hatustan, or just a piece of brass. It was nothing on itself. It is what it pointed to, and that work had been done. And so it is vital that when we read here, seek the Lord and his strength, yes, the ark is set forth. It's being brought up now, isn't it? David with the psalm here, the ark is before them, but we're not just to look to that ark, but what it is setting forth. It is the strength of the Lord. And The psalmists speak very much of the strength of the Lord, and especially in the way of salvation. We have it also in Psalm 37, about the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them, because they trust in him. Why is it so vital that we have the strength in the Lord Jesus Christ? I would say it reverently, but with all the power and strength of Almighty God, he could have, without the Lord and his sufferings and sacrifice at Calvary, no power at all to save one sinner, because it would not be consistent with his own word. It would not be consistent with his holiness, his righteousness. Without the shedding of blood, God has said, there shall be no remission. So that needs to be provided. Isaac, he says to Abraham, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham says, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. When Sodom and Gomorrah was going to be destroyed, there was one of the Lord's people there, Lot. And the angels, when they were hasting him to come out of that city, they said to Lot that they could not do anything until he was out of that city. You think, there is the almighty wrath of God against the sin and wickedness of those people, so much like it is today. But Abraham made intercession, and he said, wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? No, the Lord would not. And until that one of his people were out, all that mighty power that was unleashed upon that city for their wickedness was held back. And we get an example there of the almighty power of God, affected by his own will, his own promises. When the Lord promises to save his dear people, he will save them and he will not destroy them. But when the Lord says that he will destroy a people, the only way he will save them is by providing a substitute to bear the wrath of God, to make that atonement that is so vitally necessary to put away their sin. And what I want to so convey in the Lord and his strength is this: the wonderful provision of God in the gospel. Really, what is set before us by the Lord: this is my will to save. This is my provision, that to give myself the strength and ability to save hell-deserving and guilty sinners, I sent my only begotten Son into this world and made him to be sin for you, he who knew no sin, that the righteousness of God might be exalted, might be put upon us. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ is what was vital for all the mercy of God, the power of God, the strength of God to be put forth on a sinner's behalf. It shows the good will of the Lord. It shows what he has done to make provision for hell-deserving sinners. And so when we read here, the Lord and his strength, We also have a reminder that salvation is not just of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, but it is the whole Trinity. The Father sent the Son, and the willing Son obeyed, and the Holy Spirit, He makes these things known, and He conveys the blessing, He conveys the strength from Almighty God to sinners. The Lord and His strength seek His face continually. The Lord does have power to save. The Lord is able and He is willing to save. The Lord has set forth a gospel as declared by our Lord when He rose from the dead. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And He commissions His disciples. He tells them to tarry at Jerusalem until they are endued with power from on high. And that power is put forth in saving of sinners. The Lord and His strength. What is set forth here, being able to save a sinner from hell, to save them from condemnation, to save them from the wrath to come. The apostle, when he writes to the Ephesians in chapter 1, he tells them of the power that is put forth in a believer. And he said it is the same power that God wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and when he set him at his own right hand. That is how much strength and power of Almighty God is needed to save a sinner. How foolish to think that man could save himself. How foolish to think that we could put our own hand unto our soul's salvation. What is set before us is a salvation that is solely of God, of God's work, of God's design, and it is to be lifted up, and with the precious promise that I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me, attracted unto God's provision, attracted and drawn to that only way of salvation. Our Lord said, if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall perish in your sins. The strength of the Lord, the strength of Jehovah, it is everlasting strength. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Well, I want to look then, secondly, at our weakness. We are told that when we were yet without strength, Christ died for us. And what can be a greater description of weakness than one is dead? We might be alive and able to do things, but by reason of afflictions or illness, a natural way, we don't have strength. But one that is dead has no strength whatever, no might, nothing at all. And that's how we are spiritually. We are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sins. And we need to be quickened into life, made alive. The apostle says to those in Ephesians, you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And that is the almighty power of God. They asked the Lord in John 6, what may we do that we might work the works of God? And our Lord said, this is the work of God, that ye believe in Him whom God has sent. Our weakness is our sin. Our first parents, they felt it as soon as the Lord came into the garden, they felt it as soon as they had sinned. Sin takes away our strength. We cannot stand before God. Even in a natural sense, if someone is fully clothed, then it gives an importance, a strength to be able to go out publicly and around. If we are naked or with little on, then we wouldn't like to show ourselves in public. We wouldn't have that strength or command authority that we would otherwise do. And in a spiritual sense, our very sin, our position before God, we cannot stand before God. Our iniquities have separated, and the sentence against sin is death. And that weakness is a profound weakness. Now, who knows that weakness? Now, the dead do not. But when the Lord quickens into life, then the people of God begin to feel and know what they are and how weak they are. You know, we have not power to think one thought aright. We cannot even know God without his work. He that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Faith is the gift of God, and it is absolutely vital that we have that. And yet no man has strength to work in that faith and to exercise it himself. That is given by God. Our utter inability to put forth our hand and to take anything of the things of God. The Lord says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of mine hand. The life that he gave is a gift, and their security is not them keeping themselves, but him holding them in his hands. And we think of that in our Lord Jesus Christ. The hands, he says in Isaiah, I've graven thee upon the palms of my hands. The sufferings of the Lord for his dear people. Our Lord was made weakness. He humbled himself even unto death, even the death of the cross, and brought down into utter weakness, and then raised up again and strengthened. The salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ, comes right where his people are and endured what was their due and then brought up again. God hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, Lord, testified, I have power to lay down my life and power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. But the people of God are to know their weakness and know their need of the Lord's keeping and also of what the Lord has done for them. It's a blessed thing to have that reminder. This morning, when I was getting dressed, my eye just fell on an old wound I had in my knee, and I thought, oh, I hadn't really taken notice of that for a long while. But my mind went right back to when I was 10 and had that operation. I thought, that wound is still there. I could have forgotten that. But when I look at that wound, then no one can convince me I didn't have that operation. It's still there. It's in my flesh. It will be there until I die. And the Lord says, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. The wounds that he endured in weakness and in death and his sufferings at Calvary. But the people of God are to feelingly know their own weakness. And it is absolutely vital that it be so.
We have dear Jacob, and he has Esau coming with 400 men. And he comes before God and he lays the matter all before him. And he says how he fears, and he fears the people. And then he wrestles with God. We read there, wrestled the man with him until the breaking of day, prevailing in prayer. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. He said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And the Lord blessed him, and blessed him with a change of name. His name originally was Jacob, supplanter, deceiver. But Israel, thou art, hast prevailed with God as a prince. Thou hast wrestled with God and with man. That was the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the pre-incarnation times. But was it really Jacob's strength? Jacob, who was so fearful, so afraid, so seeking the strength of the Lord just with his finger touched the hollow of his thigh. And there Jacob went away, halting on his thigh. The Lord, if he wanted to, he could just completely disable dear Jacob. He was given that strength to wrestle. The Lord, as it were, permitted himself to be prevailed upon to obtain that blessing. But Jacob had always a constant reminder of the blessing and of the prevailing, but also his own weakness. How easy that God could touch in that way. Later on, when the wagons came, years later, when Joseph had been in Egypt, we read that Jacob, at first, he did not believe them. His heart fainted. Then when he saw the wagons, then Jacob, his spirit revived, and Israel said, Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I'll go and see him before I die. But the weakness of Jacob, you think of his utterances, all these things are against me. You think of his grief, his sorrow, his inability to see and to know the plan and power of the Lord. But at the end of his life, he could bless the Lord through all that he'd been through. But not by strength. By strength, no man can prevail. The Lord will teach his people in weakening their strength. We read, he weakened my strength in the way. May this be an encouragement to some of you who feel this. Why is the Lord bringing me down like this? Why is he leaving me to be seemingly more and more sinful, more and more far off, more and more ungodly, my own feelings? He weakened my strength in the way. When the Lord would give wonderful deliverance to Gideon, he weakened him first. Why? So that he didn't take the glory to himself. When the Lord will save a sinner, then he shows that sinner what he is to be saved from. He shows that he is a sinner, and he shows him that he cannot save himself. In Psalm 107, we have a picture of this again and again. The Lord dealing with them in their lives in such a way that they fell down and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their distress, and he saved them out of their distresses. It didn't just happen once. It happened again and again. No strength, no power. The only way of help is to cry unto the Lord. And yet we read at the end of that psalm, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. We like to think that, especially if we've made a profession, we're Christians, we've got some strength, some ability to stand against temptation, to stand against our own wicked, deceitful heart, to stand the trials that might come in our way, to be able to just stoically go through. And yet the Lord would have his people to know that they do not have strength. And if they did, they'd have no need of his strength. And they wouldn't go to him. And the soul that will live closest to the Lord knows the reality of how weak they are, how unable to stand. Why did Joseph so flee from the presence of his master's wife? Joseph, have you not got strength to stand? No, says Joseph, I must flee. And we have no strength. We have no might. But the strength is of the Lord. Remember with the Apostle Paul, how that he had been so greatly blessed, so favoured. But then he has a messenger of Satan, a thorn in the flesh to buffet him. The Lord gave it him. Why? So that he could really feel how unable he was. He sought the Lord 3 times that that would be taken away. He had no strength to remove it. But the Lord said, no, don't ask any more. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And you hear the apostle then saying, most rather then will I glory in my infirmity. When I am weak, then am I strong. He was brought to see it. Do we know our weakness? Do we feel it? Maybe those of you this morning have been painfully feeling it. Feel the Lord's hand is against you, it's a mark against you and not for you. Feeling even that there is no hope and no salvation for your soul. Resolutions crossed. Prayers seemingly even not answered. No change. Seems to be enmeshed in those rounds of dead service. Can't get out of sins and habits and ways. In a miry clay, a pit. The Lord brings his people where they really feel and know what their condition is by nature. Full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. No strength or no might at all. Some people find it very hard in the natural way, I think probably most of us do, if all the way through their life they've been blessed with much natural strength and they help everyone else. But then they have affliction or they increase in age and suddenly now they are the ones that need help. And they are in weakness and they must have someone help them. And it's not easy. Not easy to submit. Not easy to allow others to do that. But in a spiritual way, we may think that we have got plenty of strength. But when the Lord brings us down, is a humbling thing. That dear apostle, he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. The true work of God humbles and it makes utterly dependent. And it brings us to seek. And I want to look at this in the last point here, the exhortation of David. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. What does he mean? Go. Go in prayer. Go to the house of God. Come before the Lord. But you've got a specific thing that you're looking for. For the strength of the Lord. For the help of the Lord. You're looking for the salvation of the Lord. But why is it even set forth in the way of exhortation? Because we don't seek. How many times we neglect it, dear friends? You might think and mourn and feel our sad condition, and yet we're silent in prayer. We're not asking of the Lord for his strength. Or we want to see how it is given. how it is applied. Dear Job, he said, will the Lord fight against me with his great power? No, he will put strength in me. He knew that secret. Do we ask for it? When was the last time? Beset with sin, with temptations, in fiery trials, did we ask the Lord for his strength? Strength to stand, strength to still pray, strength to still hope. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. How vital that we seek of the Lord for this, what he provides for his dear people. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Seek comes in twice here, but seek his face. We go almost from the type there of the ark to the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. How precious to see in the Lord Jesus Christ our salvation. They looked unto him and their faces were lightened. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord, when the Lord came to them, when instead of hiding his face from them, they could see his face. They could see that smile that was towards them, not a frown. If someone has their back to us, we cannot tell whether they're happy, whether they're smiling, whether they're frowning. But if they turn towards us, then we can see. And always in Scripture, it speaks of the face of the Lord as his pleasure and of his goodwill towards his dear people. And here it is to seek his face, not just once in salvation, not just once in calling, not just in the beginning of the way, but continually. In Psalm 105, which is this psalm here, there's more added to it in Psalm 105, the same verse is rendered, seek him evermore, evermore and continually. May it be that which brings us again to seek the Lord, to ask after him and to be mindful in all of our weakness that this is the provision of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. And he has power to save unto the uttermost all that cometh unto God by him. We are to come unto the Lord Jesus Christ. We are come unto God through him. And the Lord has power because of the blood shed, because of the satisfaction made, because of what the Lord has seen fit to order salvation, that the sins of his people should be borne by Christ and Christ's righteousness should be put upon his people and that his people's sins should be blotted out at Calvary. The prophet Isaiah, he speaks most beautifully at the end of chapter 40. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. May we be encouraged in that, to seek the Lord, to wait upon him, to seek that strength from his hand. The blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. We know what it is to have physical strength. We know what it is to have mental strength. But what a blessed thing it is to have spiritual strength. And David, he prayed that the Lord would strengthen him before he went hence and was no more. Well, he knew he'd be weakened down to the grave, but to be strengthened in faith, strengthened in the Lord Jesus Christ, with that hope so strong and faith in him so strong, as to see our salvation perfectly secured in him. 'Tis he, instead of me, is seen when I approach to God. He is the one where I may lift up my head with joy amongst the sons of God, not dressed in my own righteousness, which is filthy rags, but dressed in his, and then shall see his face with joy. Well, may the Lord bless this word. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £725, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Sunday school will be at chapel this afternoon. Mr. Sayers will preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Henry Mercer next Lord's Day. And the collections next Lord's Day will be for Christian Concern and the Christian Legal Centre. Now, friends at Fenstanton hold their special prayer meeting on Friday evening. Let us close with hymn 1110. My times of sorrow and of joy, great God, are in thy hand. My choicest comforts come from thee and go at thy command. Hymn 1110.
Thank you.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.